box. I love the modern conveniences better than the old days. And you can have the box fans in the windows if you want. And if you got that, God help you and bless you and keep you and hope you get a lot of ice. Because these are some hot summer days we're having right now. But I really believe that, you know, I love the modern conveniences. I love the internet, the smartphones. I love TVs and AC, modern machinery. But what I wish I could do is merge all of these modern conveniences with the previous generation's views of honor and respect. Now, there was a benefit in my life. Faith and I both grew up in small town USA. Neither one of us grew up in the city. She grew up on a dirt road. When I married her, she was living on a dirt road, riding a motorbike. Believe it or not, she had a dirt bike, and she would ride it down the... I know you can't imagine the redhead riding a dirt bike, but she did. She had a dirt bike, and she rode it down that dirt road. She lived on a dirt road when I married her. I lived in the country my entire life in small little towns. And one of the beautiful things about that is when you don't have a lot of busyness and hustle and bustle in your life, you talk a lot. And you talk a lot to old people because there's more of them than there were of us in those days. And they pass along ideas and views and values on front porches. Anybody sat on the stoop lately and talked? Or eat a piece of, now, it's according to what part of the South you're from, whether you're eating a pecan pie or a pecan pie. And so it's according to where you're from, but eating a piece of pie or some homemade ice cream or cutting a watermelon and just talking. And that was the greatest education we ever got in our life. And going to church and vacation Bible school, they were teaching us values like respect those who are older than you. When's the last time you heard somebody say that? Has anybody, raise your hand if you ever heard somebody say, you need to respect those who are older than you. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand if you've never heard it. But when's the last time you heard it, other than 2 minutes ago when I said it? When's the last time you heard that? When is the last time that you heard? I remember a time where we were taught to honor our teachers. I mean, that's what this whole idea of taking apples to school came from. It was just saying thank you and honoring them and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. It was about honor. It wasn't because that we had to do it. We wanted to do it because it was showing respect to the people in our lives who were trying to carry on values or pass values along to us. I remember that we were told to honor policemen, to honor our parents. And listen, in the old church I grew up in, anybody could whip you. I mean, nowadays, nobody can whip you. In the church I grew up in, everybody could whip you. I've been whipped by people I didn't even know their last name. Oh, sister so-and-so done whipped my butt because of something I did in church, and I didn't know, and go tell my mama. And then when I got home, I got another one when I got home. Anybody else raised in small town USA? You know what? It makes a believer out of you. There's a whole lot that can happen in your mind when it get applied to the seat of your understanding. I remember a time when men were expected to treat women like a treasure. When men were gentlemen and they opened doors and carried things in from the car. They didn't sit in there on a computer or drinking something while somebody else emptied the car and brought it in. I remember a time that men loved their wives and celebrated them. I remember a time that women were known for their beauty and affection. That's what women were known for. You married a girl because she's going to love on you and take care of you. And if she could cook, it was a bonus. But you wanted to be cared for and loved. And those were the values that were passed down. I remember when a family name was worth fighting for. Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a good name is more valuable than riches. And so we lived under those kinds of biblical principles where we placed our hand upon our heart. I don't want to go back to old-fashioned living, but I would love to go back to the basics of honor when we had respect for one another in our lives and in our communities, our neighborhoods.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
You know, we grew up under a different kind of TV influences. We grew up under Father Knows Best, and our TV families were the Cleavers and the Bradys and the Huxtables, and those were the ones that gave us our tips on how to be a family. And nowadays, we're taking our tips from the Kardashians and the Osbournes and Jersey Shore and the Bachelor and the Honey Boo Boo Child. And I'm telling you, there's a whole different set of standards that are being passed along in the airwaves. Yeah, nobody really cooks in a dress and an apron and pearls around their neck like June Cleaver. But they were passing along some type of value that said, meet your husband at the door and kiss him like he's had a hard day's work when he comes home. They were passing along ideas that life is better with family and that we should take care of it and protect it. So we have to understand that honor must begin at the house of the Lord. We can't expect a nation to change something when we have the Bible on our side, and we have to change it first in our own thoughts and our own value systems. Something I need you to understand tonight is that in the kingdom of God, honor is the currency. Honor is the currency of the kingdom. Say that with me. Honor is the currency of the kingdom. Exodus 20 says, honor your father and your mother. 1 Samuel 2 says, God said, honor me and I will honor you. 1 Timothy 5 says, honor the widows and the orphans. 1 Timothy 5 says, honor the elders. 1 Peter 3 says, honor your spouse. Hebrews 13 says, honor those who are over you in the Lord. You see a consistency there all through the Word of God. They honored the patriarchs of the Old Testament. They honored the king. Look at this scripture right here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2 and 17 says, honor all people. That's something we all need to shout out together. Everybody say that with me. Honor all people. Now notice he didn't put a political preference on that. Notice he didn't put a skin color on that. Notice he didn't put a north or a south on that. Notice he didn't put an East Coast or West Coast on that. Notice he didn't put tattoos and non-tattoos on that. Notice he didn't put hairdos and non-hairdos on that. Notice that he says all. And you know what that Greek word means? It means, get ready for this, all. God is saying, if I created them, the least you can do is respect them. If I took the time to make them, because every single baby that is born with potential. Every single baby that is born with a gift from the Lord and a destiny from the Lord. And sometimes it takes them a while to find it, and some seem to never find it. But God did not make junk, and God did not make mistakes when he made mankind. Every single one of us can excel with the Lord on our side. That's why when you come to Jesus, there's that you're God DNA is activated. You will never find your best potential outside of Christ being the center of your life. Because when Jesus Christ is the center of your life, it activates DNA inside of you that otherwise was dormant, and you start seeing things and feeling things and noticing things around you that you never noticed before, because the presence of the Holy Spirit is now dwelling inside of you. And Jesus is on your side. So God says, I want you to honor all men. Fear God, love the brotherhood, fear God and honor the king is what he says. So what is honor? What's a good definition of honor? I think it's, we should keep this simple. Honor simply means to lift up. Everybody say that with me. It means to lift up. That's all it means. I'm going to lift you up. Dishonor means I'm going to put you down. Now, I don't really speak good street language, so you have to forgive me here. I've been in church most of my life, and I've been hanging around a lot of Christians for way too long. But I do recognize a word called dissing on someone. Am I saying that right? And what does that mean? Somebody tell me what dissing someone actually means. That's right. I'm disrespecting them. If I'm dissing on someone, that means, how about this one? Don't you love this one on Facebook? Fronting them out. Wow. Is anybody self-righteous enough to front anyone out? I mean, or is anyone in this room good enough that I could judge another person's struggle? I mean, really, is any of us that good? And so we've adopted. I was talking to Clay just yesterday at ISO, and he said, Clay, you're 23, right? 25. You're grown now. I'm sorry about that. He's 25. And Clay told me something that I wrote it down because I've never heard anyone say that. It was 25 years old before. He said, my generation has normalized disrespect to where disrespect is actually normal. It's acceptable behavior. Now, I grew up in a generation where it was unacceptable behavior. And I think we need to return to the value of respecting the people around us, and to where when someone is putting them down, somehow that goes against our grain. And if we could just get Christians to speak up again and say, you're not going to talk like that around me. You're not going to talk about this person around me. You don't know them. I know them. I love them. You're not. I mean, where did we stop taking bullets for the people we love? I'm not talking about real bullets. I'm talking about verbal bullets. But when did we stop taking a punch for the people we love? Somebody needs to be a friend and a brother and a true cohort that will stand up and say, not on my watch. I love these people. You want to talk like that? You're not going to do it around me. How many of you are willing for the Lord to give you a boldness to speak up if you get a chance to do that? Amen. Now, here's what the Bible says we're going to be facing our time when we're putting people down more than we're lifting people up. 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days, how many of you know we're here? Perilous times will come. How many of you know they have come? We're living in perilous times. This is how we know. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Just put a check mark every time we get there. Boasters. Have you ever heard of Facebook? Proud. Facebook. Or social media, not just Facebook. Blasphemers. Let's go on. I want to preach there, and I don't have time. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Did you check them off? How many of you can see every bit of that in our society? Every single one. You don't have to exclude anything anymore. Perilous times have come. But we have to understand that God gave us an antidote for perilous times. Now, that is what the world is going to look like, but there is a flip side to that of what God wants the people of God to look like. So he was telling us that's what the world looks like, but this is what you should look like. So go to Philippians chapter 2. Listen to what he said. Let nothing be done, because we're talking about a narcissistic world who is self-centered in everything they do, and they demonize any person who disagrees with them on anything. But he said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem others better than themselves. Wow. That's a hard one to live by, isn't it? That I care more about you than I care about myself. That I'm going to make a decision that's better for you than it is for me. that I'm going to let you choose, even though I have my own choices. I would rather do what's best for you. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. How many can see that is a direct contrast to the perilous times? That's the opposite. That's the contrast to the perilous times that the Bible said that we would live in. That is why honoring means I'm going to lift you up, not put you down. Honoring means I'm going to prefer you over myself. So listen to what the Bible says. Romans 12 and 10. Prefer others before yourselves. Romans 12 and 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Deuteronomy 5 and 16. Children, obey your parents. Exodus 20. Adult children, honor your father and your mother. Can I just give you a secret there? The Bible doesn't say they have to earn it. God's looking at two things. Are there honorable parents? Sometimes the answer is no, but you can still be an honorable child. You can still, God, notice this command is not to the parents. This command is to the children. Honor your father and your mother. There's a lot of people who had to learn that the hard way. They felt like the dishonor of their parents gave them the right to be dishonorable themselves. But God's not going to let us off the hook with that. God says, no, you. It doesn't matter if your parents earned it. I want you to respect them even if they don't respect you. Somebody shout out high ground. God is saying, take the high ground. John 20 and 23. Treat your children with respect, is what it says. Treat your children with respect. Do you know that the behavior that you model to your children is the behavior you're requiring of them? It's not do as I say do, it's do as I do. And whatever you do in front of a child is acceptable behavior in your house. Understand this. Whatever you do in front of your children, you are giving them permission to do the same thing to you. The way I speak to you trains you how to speak to me. The way I talk to you trains you. If I can talk to you that way, then you can talk to me that way. That's what the Lord is saying with this passage.